We're now recording.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on Friday the 8th of July. We have Rafik Jamak, Carlton Samuels, John Rahman Khan, Carlos Aguirre, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Dev Anand Tulaksing, Eric Brunner-Williams, Avery Doria, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Carla Valente, Linda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And we have apologies from Elaine Pruiz, Tijani Benjima, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Michaeli Malon, Alex Christine, Andrew Mott, already mentioned his name, and we'll get that buzzing sorted out. Sorry. If I could just remind you to please state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Carlton and Rafik.
Hello, everybody. Nice to have you on this call. You see the agenda is sent out there. And if you're in the Adobe room, it's on the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. We have three matters that give you an update on a couple of procedural matters. We're going to go to the update on the funding model, funds, and process aspects, and then we're going to go to the methods, parameters, and terms for in-kind services. You would notice that we are trying to flesh out the outstanding items for the final report. That's what we are zeroing in on here. Is there any objection? Eric.
Yes, I'd like to understand how we're going to usefully use the time allocated to Elaine's work when Elaine is not on call, and it will be available after the 11th. Could you explain that?
Well, because Elaine has posted the work, and she has asked some specific questions, Eric, and if you look in the report and you look at the mail, you will see that there are specific questions asked. I presume that we could begin to answer the questions without Elaine's prompting.
Who put it on the agenda, Carlson?
I'm sorry?
Who is responsible for placing this on the agenda?
I did.
I see.
I did. The questions are there. I will ask the questions in Elaine's stead, just like she's asked them in the list. And if anybody has anything to contribute, they could contribute. I doubt it has to wait until Elaine comes. I mean, it's written in plain English. At least that's my opinion.
Well, thank you for sharing your opinion, Carlson.
Anybody else have an objection? Alan? Alan, you have the floor, sir.
I'm not raising an objection, but in the past I think we found that when the person who wrote the document is not there, we end up deferring the discussion, significant parts of the discussion, until they can come. So I, to some extent, agree with Eric.
I quite understand that, Alan, but to the extent that we can discuss or throw questions up and put it on the wiki like she's asked, I just thought we'd get a head start on that.
Okay.
Given our time constraints. But again, if people don't have anything to say, we will just simply leave it alone. Okay, so we'll start off. Two updates on the procedural matters, two issues. The first one is the letter to Kurt Pritz. We have sent the letter to Kurt Pritz. We also tried to reach him by telephone, but Kurt is on vacation. He'll be back sometime next week. When he's back in the saddle, we will again attempt to talk to him on the telephone about the letter. That's the first one. The second one is the question of the support criteria for government entities. You'll recall that there was a question in the Milestone Report 2 about whether or not support should be extended to government entities. The GAC was certainly of the opinion that it should be. We took it on advisement. We've been trying to get some qualification and clarification from the GAC. Sent a note again to the GAC liaison to find out more about it. It's not been forthcoming. So we are, again, waiting on some response from GAC interests about what should be included here. Alan has his hand up.
I thought this was one of the issues that was being looked at by the small ALAC GAC group that was put, this, the side group that was put together in Singapore. Am I incorrect, or did they not come back with an answer?
No, it is more than that. More than that one, Alan. To my mind, it was a little bit more than that.
Oh, I understand. I said that was one of the items that they were looking at.
Yes,
I thought. So they have not come back with an answer.
No, they have not come back with an answer.
Thank you.
We connected with Tracy, and he's not provided an answer either. So we are still waiting for an answer. It is a substantial piece of the puzzle that's left outstanding. We have it on the same timeline as these two wazier ones. So we just have to try to kickstart it and see. That's the issue there for that. Eric, you have your hand up?
That's correct, Carlton. I'm confused. Is this a procedural matter?
Yep.
Thank you.
So, those are the two matters that I thought we should bring to your attention. We're still trying to reach persons who could help us take care of a couple of things. You'll hear more as soon as we know more. So we move to the second item, which is the update on the funding model, funds, and process aspects. Avery is online, so Avery?
Hello. Okay, I see that, Alan, you put some comments on, so we probably should talk about those comments. There were two, and you may want to say them as opposed to me saying them, but that's up to you.
No, you can go ahead and say them, Avery. I've seen them, but you can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Let me try and get them in front of me. So the second one was an easy one, which was in terms of the funding that they should be looking at, they should be looking, one of the bullet items should be a matching funds line item. And
yeah.
That seems like just an omission on my part. I'd like to actually present a counter case on the first point that you put in, that the first two bullets about figuring out what indeed ICANN could do as a foundation, and the other one, requirements for creation or funding. Certainly, I actually don't see it as micromanagement, partly because for over 2-3 years now, every time fund or foundation comes up, the subject is immediately blocked by, oh, that's hard to do in California. Oh, I don't know if you could do that in California. And that's where it always stops. I've asked a couple people who had lawyers in California. One day they say, oh yeah, I'll have my lawyer check into it. The next day they come back and they say, well, you know, it's complicated and I can't afford to spend that much on it. And so obviously it'll be the ICANN legal staff that is doing it, so perhaps it supervised the doing of it. But it's definitely a topic that needs to be resolved by somebody so that every time the issue comes up, it's not, oh, well, we don't know what it takes. And then you drift off for another half year.
Well, my I won't call it a rebuttal, but it is that I agree with you that we have not gotten anywhere on it, but the inclusion in the applicant guidebook of the concept that we need to look, that the fund should be, the auction funds, the windfall profits from auctions should be put into a foundation or a fund for doing good things, which essentially is what it says in a big paragraph, it implicitly implies they're going to have to address these issues, whether it's a California corporation or one chartered in Delaware or you know, Afghanistan is not necessarily, is one of the things they're going to have to look at. But I think it's implied there.
But aren't the modalities of that something that this group should pay attention to?
Well, I think these are legal issues of what's the best way to do it. And our function is to say what to do with the funds that are made available through whatever the mechanism is. I'm giving my opinion.
The only thing I would say to that is this is not our function. This is something created by the board to make recommendations to the board.
I don't see how one could create a foundation or fund without doing those things. So I think, I've said enough.
Okay. Well, if the chairs decide it's consensus for taking it out, I'll certainly take it out. I just wanted to argue for why I had put it in there.
It may be worthy of a footnote, but I wouldn't put it in as the points included as the bullets on the same par with the other ones there.
Okay. Other than that, so there's a question for the chairs there. Other than that, I don't think I've gotten any other comments on any of the stuff on the two notes that I have in subgroup two. And I don't see any new notes, so that would be it. Unless somebody's got something new or wants to add to this conversation that Alan and I have been having.
Thank you, Avery. I see Eric. Eric, you have the floor.
Thank you, Avery. I was going to ask, where is the, what's the, could you put into the chat the URL of the relevant page?
It's in the agenda, Eric.
I'll put it again. It's in the agenda, but I'll put it again.
But somebody else got there before me. It's there twice now.
Okay. Deb Abbott.
Thank you.
So, I guess Rafiq, you had a hand.
Rafiq, you're up.
Yes. Okay. So, I just understood that you, Avery, only had two comments. So, Avery, what do you think about next steps in your subgroups? And so, just to check what we can do in the next week. So,
okay.
If it's good, yeah.
I would think after you guys decide that there's been enough discussion and we've resolved any of the issues that get opened, like the one that Alan just opened, that it starts to get fit into the final document. And then we go and further refine it, et cetera. But I think we're at the stage now where there's a writing contribution now under your supervision, although me doing it, that the group is going to reach consensus, yay, nay, change it, put it in, don't put it in, throw it away, burn it. And then once you guys say, nope, that looks like it goes in, then I think the drafting team that's putting together the final book moves it from the subgroup places with the proper cutting and pasting to the appropriate places in the book and basically starts to merge ideas in. That's kind of how I always envisioned this would work, is things get written, they get talked about a bunch, and then some form or other, or not, they get put in the document once the chairs coordinating decide that there's consensus to move forward with it. So that would be my idea.
Aubrey, my question is not that how we will proceed, but It's more about substantive points. I mean that if we have you think that there is other point that we need to explore, but understood for how to say.
Okay.
For the consensus reaching, etc. That's processes we follow, but it was more interested to know if we need to explore other parts.
Okay. Sorry, I answered the wrong question.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't know. In fact, I was just thinking about it earlier in the meeting when Carlton brought up as this is the work to look about filling all the gaps. Did anybody ever create a table of all the gaps so that we actually knew all the pieces that we need to be filling out? I can certainly go back, and I don't know, do we keep track of action items? If we did keep track of action items, I could take an action item to go back to the writings and see if there's anything else in this topic that I think needs more work. I don't know if you guys have a running list somewhere of all the pieces that need to be done, but I'll certainly scour and see if I can think of any others that need to be taken care of under this heading.
Avery, this is Carlton. Let me just, Alan, I'll come back to you in a minute. Just let me say that the MR2 report these aspects that we are dealing with are the glaring gaps in it because they did not address them, pretty much left them out. They weren't addressed. So that's why we are spending time on addressing that. In the MR2 report, there was also a requirement to go look at the GAC concern about the admissibility of municipalities and government entities for funding under the needs assessment. So what we are actually dealing with are those gaps. What we're trying to do is to gain consensus for some of the ideas that you have written and the others who are leading on these things. So you're quite right. That's the process that we are following. I'm hoping that Alan has looked at your suggestions and raised two issues on them. That we've heard from Alan, we would hope that there are others who have something to say on them, and that is what is going to give us guidance as to whether or not the issue is sufficiently aired to move from the work into the report writing stage. So we're still waiting. Alan, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. It's directly in relation to what you were just saying. I mean, anyone can tell from the timing of my comments that I just read the document now, and those two comments I made were the first ones. I plan to go over it again. I feel uncomfortable, however, making a decision that what Avery or whatever anyone puts there is acceptable by the whole group based on silence. In writing any of these reports and work groups, there's a long record of people don't bother doing their homework, and then when the final document gets put together and is almost frozen, people start coming up with new ideas and complaints and worries about what's there. We really need some level of acknowledgement saying, yeah, I'm okay with it, not just silence. I don't know how to extract it from people who are all, I'm sure, as equally busy as I am and, you know, over up to our ears in tasks, but we really need to get some level of buy-in at this level before it gets integrated and wordsmithed into the document, because people always do come back at that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I totally agree with you.
Not a solution, but
I totally agree with you. Thank you very much. But as you know, it's up to the members of this group to make the call, and then that's why we give everybody time to air and report on this, so that when the decision is taken that we think there's consensus, then there's a basis for it in terms of time and attention paid to it. So I hope everyone noticed that we have it on the agenda for discussion, and we zero in on them precisely because we want to bring attention to them so that folks can have a say. Even if you don't write it, at least you could have a say if you read it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, my hand is up again.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
you want to follow up?
I would really suggest that someone send out an email listing the URLs of all of the pages that we're looking for comments on and the email messages like Elaine's, so that we have – right now it's an issue of someone – each of us has to navigate the tree and try to find the new parts. And that's a time-consuming effort that not all of us need to do. If we could get an email with the URLs of all of the pages that we're looking for soliciting comments on, or pages and emails, I think we'd be in a much better position for someone to say, yes, I've looked at them, or I will look at them tonight, or something like that. The tree navigation is just too onerous a task to assume people do it and do it properly. Thank you.
That's one of the things that we were trying to do in putting not just the agenda item, but the link to where you can look at them.
I know, but we have about 10 pages or so, or certainly 5 or 6 that Avery did, plus other messages. If we can get them all in one place at the end of each meeting, perhaps, or at least certainly as a checkpoint now, you know, over the weekend, I think we'd be in a better position to ask people to look at them. You know, if we don't make it easy, people aren't going to do it. That's it for me.
Eric, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Carlton. Eric Brenner-Williams for the transcript. Avery, I'd like to address some of the substance of the text, and I'm sorry, I too am a late reader.
Okay.
Under availability of funds, I'm reading, it is improbable that a foundation could be created in time to assist applications directly with funding. And then the sentence continues.
Where's that?
I don't think that's a necessary statement, and I also don't think that it's necessarily true. So perhaps that crystal ball portion of the prognostications could be...
Excuse me, could you tell me where you are? I don't...
Availability of funds, Avery.
Okay, it is improbability.
Yeah.
You're right, I should just take that out.
Thank you.
I think that was left over from an older version.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Eric, can I ask you just for the record to make the note on the, like Alan did, on that page so that we have a record of it there?
Thank you, sir.
Carlton, if the request is that I have to annotate the wiki in order to point something out to the author whom I've just spoken with, I have to say categorically no.
It's deleted. It would be useful if somebody did collect action items and put them in the notes of the meeting. That would be a useful thing.
Can we ask staff to just collect some notes on this for us, please?
I will do so.
Thank you, Carlton.
So, Carlton, since I'm going to start the notes now, I will wait for the transcript to do that for what happened in the meeting so far.
Yeah, that could work as well.
I guess I'm done for now, right? And I put the first two bullets in brackets so that we know that there's an issue there.
Okay. Cheryl, you have your hand up. Your floor, please.
Thank you, Carlton. Cheryl Langdonell for the record. I'm just wondering, it's all very nice to have the links in the agenda, but to help discussion while we're doing discussion, regardless of who's leading it, perhaps we could make sure that we are all sharing a view to that particular page. I've been in any number of Adobe Connect rooms over the last few years, and in a number of the calls, everyone who's on the call is literally led to the page selected by one of the, I assume, presenters. So perhaps for future, if we're going to try and prioritise and gain some sort of protocol, such as we all share a discussion, we discuss and do edits live in a call to a discussion point that then goes for a period of consensus with online interaction, but over at least two meetings before it might be declared for a third, which is just one way forward that I put into the chat, that if we were all herded also to that page, that would be good. Now, that would mean doing things like when Avery's leading us through discussions from her work team, that she's probably a presenter or whatever, or but we often have a situation in these AC rooms where, like it or lump it, we're all taken to the shared page, and that might also help as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Eric, you have your hand up.
Thank you. Cheryl, that was a very good point that the subject matter or the participants, the contributors who have something really should be providing the link to the working page. But this is a comment. I've raised my hand to make one more comment on the fundraising page, funds and foundations page. And Avery, this is a suggestion that the discussion of auctions creates a sense of time, but it doesn't create the model of the foundation as a ongoing activity with multiple new GTLD rounds and when funds become available. There's the suggestion of when funds become available in the sense that the auction period takes place after the application period in the first round. But there's what I'm struggling with, and I'm sorry to be so disjoint, but this is a call after all, is the presentation is sort of a as if there's only one moment in time, really, when we're really talking about an ongoing entity that lives much longer than just the 2012 round. That's all I have, and I'll try to put that coherently into comments later on in the call. Thank you.
Can I respond?
Yes, Avery.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I see what you mean, and if I understand what you mean, is it basically only talks about auctions here in terms of their effect on this round, and maybe
correct.
Adding a second sentence that says, beyond using auction fees to replenish the reserve and the risk funds, the funds would be available to the foundation for future rounds funding, et cetera, kind of thing.
Yep.
Is that what you meant, Eric?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thanks.
The point being that there are moments in time in which needs have spikes and moments in time in which available funds have spikes, and part of the problem is to smooth those as well as to achieve a sustainable model. Thank you. And now I don't hear a thing.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Eric. I was waiting for you to say if Avery had something else to say.
No, I was just typing a note in the text so that I could go back later and put some words around that.
Thank you, Avery. Alan, you have your hand up. You're on next, sir.
Yeah, that last comment, in fact, plays against the previous comment of Eric and Avery. where Eric said he didn't agree with something and Avery took it out immediately. I had a hell of a time finding it in the wiki because it disappeared on my screen.
Sorry.
I'm doing editing on a fly where things just disappear and you have to start going into the change log. It's going to make this whole thing impossible.
Okay, I'll put a line through it next time instead of disappearing it.
Or put in brackets or a color or something like that.
Sorry,
please.
But
relation to the substance, if you look at the note in the applicant guidebook, it talks about a foundation or a fund or whatever with multiple uses, not all related to GTLDs, and presumably multiple sources, not all related to auctions. And I agree with Eric that if ICANN's not likely to set up 14 foundations, they're likely to do it with a general one, and then the board of that foundation or whatever will decide how to get more money into the foundation and or whatever it is, and how to disperse it, and that will vary over time in both those directions. So there are parts that are not going to be available in the first round, and there are parts that may well be available in the first round. So I think the wording, if we're going to have any wording related to that at all, has to make it clear it's not a black and white issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Can I just ask a clarifying question? Are we not speaking about funds earmarked here for needs assess applicant support? Would that not be
I think that's what we're talking about, but I don't think that's going to be the limit of the foundation should one be created.
Yeah, exactly. I think I would agree. I should have put my hand up. But, yeah, I don't think we're talking about just that. We think the foundation needs to be set up. We think this needs to be its highest priority. But it's up to the people setting up the foundation and the board to figure out its full scope.
All right. Thank you. Eric, you have your hand up again.
Not intentionally.
Okay, you're still on the board with the hand up. Are there any more comments on this area? Okay. Can we go to the second one? And I just put in the chat the two areas that Elaine was looking at. She asked us to review and update on the work accomplished, our idea for going forward. And the first one, propose and establish methods for applicant to seek out assistance to be given by back-end registry provider, top-level domain consultants, translators, technicians, etc. This is a whole bunch of in-kind knowledge services that she's making reference to. And she asks, some things that she said are accomplished. The staff will publish a list of organizations that request assistance and organizations that state an interest in assisting with additional program development. And there's a website that is supposed to be up for constant paid with Kirk. And she wanted to know whether or not there was any interest in adding any information in this area. And on the second one, she wanted to address the issue of coordinating the assistance. So first thing is that you figure out what assistance is required. You beat the bushes for people who are going to provide the assistance, and then you coordinate the assistance. And in this case, she said that we had to discuss the methods, parameters, and terms for matching applicants with providers of assistance. And as she also says, well, you need to make sure that we have all types of assistance defined. And then the mechanism, the process by which this assistance would be given. So to my mind, the first one is fairly straightforward. They want to make sure that there is a list. We have examined every possible kind of in-kind assistance that could be possibly required, enumerate them, and then set up some mechanism to solicit providers of that assistance. And she needs to know from this group whether or not her idea of having a web page set up for this purpose is sufficient. And I see Alan have a hand up.
Cheryl had her hand up first. Did she want to?
I've ceded to you, Alan.
Okay.
I'll step in behind you.
2 points. Number one, regarding the mock-up website, I thought I heard at one point that it actually exists. If it does, can we have a URL so we can see what we're talking about? Maybe an answer to that before I go on to the second?
Carla was involved in this. Perhaps Carla can help us with this.
Yes, we did start a mock-up of the website. However, this is when the board decided on this $2 million seed money and we started discussing that. So all of the text, all of the content of this website has to be redone because that, you know, what was there before doesn't really work now.
I would suggest that sharing it with this group would not be harmful in any case, even if it's going to be revised, because I think the concept that was there before is still applicable, even with the $2 million. So anyway, that was point number one. Point number two is my experiencing Elaine asking a whole bunch of questions like this and then raising them in an open meeting is not likely to yield a significant progress. I think someone needs to take the bull by the horns like Avery did on the other parts and draft something, no matter how wrong it is. It's a lot easier to correct and adjust things once it's drafted than to just toss questions out to in a meeting like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Carlton. Cheryl Linkville for the record. I'm glad I stepped in behind Alan because the question about the mock-up for the web page is going to be useful in complement, I hope, with what I'm going to suggest. I'm most concerned about this bit, and I'm more concerned about this bit since the $2 million USD for seed funding, which is ICANN money, albeit matched or otherwise by other parties, which I can see a clear use and nexus for reducing risk and indeed also affecting the cost of entry into application processes for needy assessed applicants in the round, but I cannot see a clear nexus as to how ICANN could use such funds to go into some form of competitive or compulsory arrangement with back-end service providers. It's out of ICANN's remit to do that. I could go on for some time about that, but I don't think now's the time to do it. What I'd like to suggest is that we need to actually have a single-purpose call specifically to this topic, because I think since the first milestone report, we've recognised this is a hugely important part of what we believe is the necessary support that needy applicants will need. But we actually need to get the back-end service providers on the call. I really, really, really think that now's the time to see where the good citizens, the good corporate citizens in industry, should they exist, are going to come from. And we need to, as a work group, try and explore opportunities and possibilities that we can then have become recommendations in our report that are workable and at least have been socialised. Otherwise, we're going to put out all sorts of, in inverted commas, really good ideas, and they're going to go, well, thanks for that, but we don't have to do it, nor will we. Or where did that come from? This is a huge one. To me, it feels like a sword of Damocles, unless it's done right. Thank you. Oh, by the way, on that call, I would strongly suggest that that we try and encourage both the GAC and board attendees so that everyone knows what everyone is talking about.
Thank you, Cheryl. Eric, you have your hand up. You're on the board.
Thank you very much. Eric Bruner-Williams for the transcript. Cheryl, if I understood you, that's a call specific to the new problem effect, in a sense, that the $2 million fund and any additions creates. Previously, we had no money to think about, and so all of our thinking was constrained by the maybe there will be money or support that doesn't require money. So if I understood you correctly, this is a call about making choices or rethinking the problem with $2 million. And I'll stop there for a moment so that you can answer.
Oh, thank you, Eric. I was actually typing desperately, but that's fine. More than just that, Cheryl Langdon, for the record, I just don't see... Yes, I agree that needs to be done. But I also just don't see how I can do other than say, yes, JAS Working Group, we too think this would be a really good idea, and hope somehow that industry and back-end service providers will come play nicely. We actually need to... They can't force that engagement. We need to interact with the possible providers of these services, and I'd like to do that proactively rather than reactively or not at all.
Yeah, I agree that we can't force existing RSPs to provide services for qualified applicants. That I can't compel that within the existing contractual framework. It didn't leave itself room in the DAG to place assistance requirements on applicants who are qualified. Not qualified in our sense, but. Possess existing registry service provider a platform capability. Okay, so with that, I want to go on to the question I had, which is actually directed towards staff concerning the website. I want to be sure that the website development activity is not budgeted out of the $2 million seed fund, that nothing is budgeted out of the $2 million seed fund without our awareness of it. I don't want us to inadvertently create charges against that fund without actually knowing that we're doing so. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hi, Carlton. Can I address that? This is Carla.
Yes, Carla, please go ahead.
Yeah, the $2 million have nothing to do with the website.
Okay, that's short and direct. I think Eric still has his hand up, residual hand up. Alan, you have your hand up, sir.
If Eric is finished, I do.
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. With regard to the who's funding the website, my recollection is the board many, many months ago allocated something like $50,000, and I don't remember what the exact value was, to investigate things like this and use money for administrative work associated with this. So I presume at worst it would be used for that. It would be good to have an update of what that number is, though, and is anything being done with it at this point? Is it being charged with anything? With regard, I've just lost my thread now.
Don't worry, take your time.
Sorry, what? I've just had a blank out. I'll put my
it
hand
was, it was
right
about
right
the
no,
fund.
I remember
the,
what the item
seed
is.
Fund. Yeah. It's
oh,
about
yeah.
Insurance.
No, oh, yes. Okay. Now I remember. You know, without making any pre-announcements or commitments that I am obviously not empowered to make, an example is it was raised at the Singapore meeting that we desperately need to get a few more registrars in Africa. VeriSign has had a very successful program, or at least I understand it's successful, trying to get registrars, consciousness raising, and put together registrars in Latin America. They've never exercised that program in Africa. It's, you know, it's a clear fit. You know, I'm sure there are other things like that, and I agree that ICANN cannot twist arms to do that, but I think ICANN is going to have to use individuals to talk to, you know, use personal relationships to get these things done, and I suspect that is not going to be limited to people on the jazz group. We may or may not have the right connections in the right places, so I think it's going to have to be a somewhat wider effort than that. Clearly not an official ICANN effort, but trying to get people quicker rather than slower to ante up and to make commitments on this thing. Thank you.
In response to you, Alan, just for a clarification question, would it be useful to still have a central place where any donations of this kind of capacity building initiative is included, and probably not official, but at least probably not officially embraced, but at least recognized, so that we can tell the community. Would this website idea?
I think once commitments are made, yes, it's something reasonable. Each group that makes any commitment, it may well have its own method of deciding where it goes and who they support. So I think it's got to be,
Okay, but that's a different issue about who they support. They could earmark who they're going to support. But
that's why I suggested that if there's a mock-up website, let's see it. Again, just as my comment on Elaine's questions, it's a lot easier to critique something once you see it.
Yeah, okay.
Than to imagine what it might look like and come up with comments on it.
Yes, can I make one comment, Carlton?
Yes, please, Carla, go ahead.
Yes, so we have a mock-up in PowerPoint, and I'm sending that to the group through the mailing list. We do not have a staged website with a link, if this is what Alan is asking.
That's fine. I don't need it to be with a URL.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Carla. Eric, your hand is up. You have a...
Thank you, Carlton. Alan, I've put in a small response to your comment about the VeriSign program, that it does look to the issue of enabling registrations in the regions, such as Latin America, but it appears to me to be more directed towards the development of reseller channels to existing North American or out-of-region registrars.
If that's the case, then I erred. I understood it to be something else, but I could well be wrong.
Actually, it's not really an error. I mean, from stepping back from the create a registrar task to create sustainability of registration, it's not necessarily true that resellers of existing registrars is a inadequate response to the problem. So, hypothetically, if there was a reseller of GoDaddy, which is located in Arizona, but the reseller is located on Lake Tanganyika, it meets most of the requirements that we thought of for creating a registrar function that's effectively within the developing economic or the least developing economic area or developing economies. It's too early in the morning for me. Now, I want to... So that was just a quick answer to Alan, but that wasn't the reason I raised my hand. The reason I raised my hand is because if we schedule a call in which we invite GAC and board members to be on the call, we should put out we should have a call prior to that. And in the call prior to that, we should float the ideas that are current. That is, each person who or group of persons who are advancing an idea of what to do with the new problem or the new opportunity of the $2 million plus, has a few minutes to present it, and the rest of us have a chance to think about it before we hear it for the first time in front of the board and the GAC. So that's my suggestion, that we schedule a call in which there is a request for proposals in the call, and that a subsequent call is a call with the GAC and board invited participation in which the the presentations which we don't have adverse reactions to are presented perhaps in longer form and take questions and answers then and subsequently from the non-JAS participants who are on that call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. Just being a quick answer to Eric. As we understood it, there is a GAC person that is earmarked to be on these calls. That is a part of the process. Unfortunately, that person has not joined too many of the calls. So, the process itself has included this possibility of having instant response and some measure, some way of getting anything from this work group into the GAC and back to us. It just has not worked as it was intended because the person don't show up at all. But Avery, you have the board.
Just a minute, Carlson. Before you go on to the next speaker, since you've given a response to my suggestion, which is actually off topic, this is not about every call. This is about a specific call. Thank you very much.
It still holds. Whether it is for one call or 10 calls, the person would be on every call. So it's peas and beans. Avery.
Okay, yeah. Am I mute?
No, you're on.
No, Avery.
Okay, great. Thank you. I get lost. First of all, there's quite possible that people do listen to the recordings of these, so we don't know that people aren't actually getting the messages. One of the concerns that I have is that we start confounding the discussion of the 2 million with the discussion of in-kind services. I think there needs to be a fairly strict wall between them. Now, I thought in terms of the allocations of monies and judgment of things that, perhaps there was going to be more work, there was going to be some sort of committee that decided when monies were allocated to whom and how. But perhaps some of that pre-work will be done here. In terms of the in-kind services, first of all, I think it goes beyond just registry service providers. It could be IPv6 tunneling. It could be licenses for software to run things in-house. There could be all kinds of things that could be offered as in-kind services or donations that, aren't necessarily just to be a registry service provider. And one thing I want to be really careful of when we're talking about soliciting in-kind services is that in-kind services don't become a means by which someone gets their hands on the money that's in the $2 million pot. Thank you.
Hear, hear.
Thank you, Avery. That is one of the issues, as you recall, that was brought up. A question was put to the group whether or not we should ring-fence the $2 million and assign what kinds of services could be paid or could make a call on that fund. That was part of the discussion in the earlier one, so I'm glad to see that there's some flesh being put to it now. It's 8:57 by my watch. We have another 3 minutes to go on this call. We spent a lot of time on the first portion of Elaine's submission, and if she goes to the record, she will have a lot of questions and a lot of things, and hopefully Carla's keeping track of all of the issues raised, so she will have some work that she can sink her teeth into for the first time at last. And so she had a second point, and the one was that she wanted help to see whether or not we could ensure that all of the possible in-kind services are identified, and she had a list of them. And most of them were in the spreadsheet. Is there any sense that she's left out any important ones? Carol, you have the floor.
Thank you, Carlton. Cheryl Langdon, for the record. I actually thought we had spent a lot of time discussing this part of her questions as well, but specifically to the question you raise, is there anything missing? On first read, probably not, but we always find that more minds bring more things forward. This is exactly the sort of conversation I suggest not only should we be having with a wider set of actors, but we need to reach out to the potential providers of these services, at least, with a sort of an unofficial, this is what we've got listed, and our recommendations and reports would be suggesting are the in-kind services that would be needed. Dear friends in industry, have we got it right? And then do that in the type of interaction that some of us have been proposing. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Eric, you have your hand up, sir.
Thank you, Carlton. Eric Renner-Williams for the record. In response to your question, is there anything else? I've scheduled a call time after the 11th of July with Elaine when she returns from her vacation. If there's anyone in the group who would like to participate in this call, I'd be happy to make the arrangements. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Any other comment? No comment. Okay, there be no comment. I think we can bring this call to a close. Before I go, can I just say something, because it is. I don't like when things discombobulate me, and I don't say it out front, and probably it's not the most diplomatic way to say it, and I don't feel very politic this morning. We are trying to get folks to air their best, give their best shot at filling out a set of needs that were drafted by some of our colleagues. Now, if we provide you with tools and opportunities to add to it or delete, it is because we feel that that is the best way we can advance the conversation. And it really bothers me when the tools that we are used to using all of a sudden become inadequate. The fact is that the reason why we use the wiki is the wiki provides a kind of permanent place for the report writers to make use of in writing the final reports. So, for example, if you have a question and the question is asked and the wiki is written, then when they look at it and they look at the transcripts and even look at the responses on the wiki, there is a way to follow the argument without actually hearing it. This is why the quick response on the telephone calls is so important. But you can get those from the transcripts. Now, instead of spending another hour waiting on the transcripts and wading through them, we just thought it would be quite useful to add the comment on the wiki, which is a more permanent and direct place. You can look at it, you see it in exactly 2 milliseconds. I think that is still a rational way to proceed. And I might be in the minority here. But to the extent that it is available and to the extent that I see it necessary, I personally, and I'm saying Carlton Samuels personally, will not go and look at every single page and send a list out of every single URL. I personally am not going to do that. So you have to forgive me. But I believe that is an important thing to say, so you understand what my headspace is. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The call?
I think everyone's just left.
Oh, okay. Well, bye, everyone.
Have a
lovely
day.
Have a wonderful, day, evening, night. Bye.
Have fun. Happy Friday to
Friday. Have a nice week, everybody.
See y'all.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.